God in 2 Kings chapter 8. In most of your pew Bibles, that should be page 306. Page 306, 2 Kings chapter 8. And we're going to read the first 15 verses of this chapter. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that, behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, Restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. And Elisha came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick, and was told him, saying, The man of God is come hither. And the king said unto Hazael, Take a present in thine hand, and go meet the man of God, and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, Shall I recover of this disease? So Hazael went to meet him, and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden, and came and stood before him and said, Thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to thee, saying, Shall I recover of this disease? And Elisha said unto him, Go, say unto him, Thou mayest certainly recover. Howbeit the Lord hath showed me that he will surely die. And he settled his countenance steadily until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept. And Hazael said, Why weepeth my lord? And he answered, Because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with a sword, and wilt dash their children, and rip up their women with child. And Hazael said, But what? Is thy servant a dog that he should do this great thing? And Elisha answered, The Lord hath showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria. So he departed from Elisha and came to his master, who said to him, What said Elisha to thee? And he answered, He told me that thou shouldst surely recover. And it came to pass on the morrow that he took a thick cloth and dipped it in water and spread it on his face so that he died. And Hazael reigned in his stead. Our text is the first 6 verses of this chapter. I'm not going to reread it all again, but let me reread at least verses 4 and 5 because that's the thrust of the passage, this particular event. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And it came to pass as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that, behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word. We are sitting there in the palace of King Jehoram, a wicked king, a son of King Ahaziah, who was wicked, a son of King Ahab, who was wicked. And he's sitting with Gehazi, chatting pleasantly. And this is the question. Tell me, I pray thee, all the things that Elisha hath done. And so Gehazi is recounting the wonderful works, the miracles of Elisha. Now, we could take this particular two verses there and look at the aspect of God's providence. For many would say, wasn't that lucky? Wasn't that a coincidence that while Gehazi is talking about the miracle that Elisha had done for this woman and her son, lo and behold, at that same time, they come into the king's palace asking for a favor. Not lucky. Not a coincidence. The providence of God. Every event in our lives. But rather, we're going to look at this passage to notice a greater truth. That truth is the wonder of God's grace whereby he preserves this woman and her son. And likewise, how God preserves all of his saints in all their trials and difficulties and brings them to glory. Yes, Gehazi is speaking about the miracles of Elisha. And perhaps we've got here several chapters where these miracles are taking place. What the Lord was doing through his servant Elisha, the man of God. Perhaps we might say, well, what miracle is here? Not an overt miracle. But, boys and girls, in catechism you have learned that a miracle is a wonder of God's grace, a wonder where God lifts up his children and preserves them in this life. Who is a saint? God preserves his saints. Who are they? How does God preserve them? And thirdly, what does God preserve them unto, or what are the blessed results? Who are they? This woman is the Shunammite woman that we read of in 2 Kings chapter 4. She is the woman who spoke to her husband and she said, this great man is coming through here. She delighted in hearing the word of God when he would stop by her. And she says, let's prepare him a room. A little parsonage where he could study and do his work uninterrupted on top of her roof. And as a reward for her kindness to him, Elisha says, what reward can we give her? And Gehazi said, she has no son and they are older in age. And she is given a son in her old age. And it is shortly after this that there is a famine predicted. Her son had died before that. He was raised back to life again. And apparently after that, her husband had died. She is a widow woman with a young son. This famine is predicted. Notice verses 1 and 2 are really just preparing us for what's going to take place later on in the chapter. It's setting the events in the past that lead up to the miracle that takes place, the wonder of God's grace in preserving this woman and her son. The verbs are in the perfect in the Hebrew. That means they had taken place. That is, Elisha had predicted this famine, and Elisha had told her, go whithersoever thou canst sojourn. And that's a good word. We're going to have to hang on to it. Sojourn. Sojourn for 7 years. And 7 years later, she comes back again. She comes back to claim her land, which was usurped by the king. It isn't the first king. That was the right of a king. He could take it, and it was almost impossible ever to get back. We think only of grandfather Ahab, how he took the land of Naboth and his vineyard. She comes back to claim her land. She's lost everything. She comes back after obedience. She comes back and she sees there Gehazi, Elisha's old servant, talking with the king. Talking about the wonderful works of grace that God has done. Typical works. How God had given her a son, how God had raised up that son from the dead. Yes, typical, for it pictures of what God does for every one of his children. All of us were dead in sin, and all of us had to be raised to life. Oh, the work of the Holy Spirit, justification, faith given, which we heard this morning, justified, sanctified, and now in our pericope, preserved. Preserved. Who are they? Believers. Saints. Yes, that woman whose son was raised from the dead is a saint. For saints are those who are beneficiaries of God's grace. Saints are those who, in their lines and in their generations, children are called forth and are saints. Not born that way, but made saints by God. She is a believer. For God raises, doesn't he, up saints in order to believe. Faith. And God gives children, raises up children in the lines of our generations in order to believe. For he made a promise, I will be your God and the God of your seed after you. What beautiful faith she displays. How do we see her faith? She hears the word and she delights in it, doesn't she? She wants more of it. Let's make a room for him. And in our pericope here now, she hears the word of God from the man of God. There's going to be a famine in the land. Go whithersoever thou canst to sojourn for 7 years. She obeys. She goes out. And at the end of 7 years, she comes back in again at the word of God. She cleaves to that word of God. And yes, there is the sign of a believer here in the world, one who hears and does the word of God. Believers in the midst of apostasy, huh? In the midst of apostasy. Oh, that little remnant. The land given over to apostasy, the king leading in apostasy, but here is a saint who hears the word of God, believes the word of God, and acts on the word of God. Who are the saints? They are believers then, who hear the word of God and act upon it. They are, second of all, objects of God's grace. Saints, not by nature, but you'll notice from verse 5, made objects by God's grace. Here is the woman and her son, whom God raised up from the dead. There were three scourges, especially in that time, for sin, weren't there? Jeremiah talks about it. The enemies around who invade the land, famine, and pestilence. There is a famine now, because there's astounding apostasy. Notice Elisha has to tell her there is going to be 7 years of famine. The apostasy of King Ahab was great, and there was 3.5 years that it did not rain, but now that's increased. It's doubled, isn't it? 7 years of famine. God's verdict, judgment against apostate Israel and against her king, King Jehoram. And now in the midst of that apostasy, here is this saint, a remnant by election. God gave her that faith, as we heard this morning in the preaching. And belonging to that saint is an inheritance, isn't it? The land that she wants back. Why does she want that land? Not for earthly reasons, like you and I might want a piece of land and we might want a nice house. Yes, that too. But she wants that land because that land was a gift to her family from God. She wants that land because that land, it marks her place here amongst God's people. She wants that land because that land represents her experiencing Christian fellowship, covenant fellowship with God. She wants that land because there she receives God's blessings upon her. Yes, that land is a picture of her place in the kingdom, and ultimately, it's a picture of heaven itself. Who are the saints? Believers in the midst of apostasy, objects of God's grace, and in our pericope we notice that saints are also those who have to suffer many afflictions. That also belongs to saints, doesn't it? She would suffer those afflictions in her private life, but she'd also suffer those afflictions spiritually. In her private life, she suffered the time when her son died, but then was raised again to life. And shortly after that miracle, evidently, her husband passed away. And she is a widow, all alone with her young son. And now famine. Famine. She has to leave her land. She has to leave her relatives, leave all that she knows and cherishes, to go to a foreign land. Yes, saints suffer the judgments of God upon the wicked, don't they? Saints today suffer famines or floods or hurricanes or earthquakes. We suffer along with the wicked here in this world, which is experiencing God's judgment for wickedness. Affliction. There are not only these afflictions for this woman in her private life, but also spiritually. what spiritually? She sees the nation that she is a part of, the nation that she is proud to be a member of, walking in unbelief. She sees the departure of her church in sin, and she sees the chastisement of God upon it. Judgments. And she obeyed the word of God. She left the land and sojourned where she could, and she returned after the 7 years. And what does she get for it? All is lost. It is seized, most likely, by the king himself. Little likelihood of getting it back again. Oh, how the devil likes to tempt us at times and say, is that what we get for obeying? Is that what we get for being a saint, for believing in God? Those things that we cherish here on earth suddenly ripped away, whether it be a little child or whether it be our health or whether it be a job that we want. Yes, at times we suffer loss, don't we? But as she comes bold to the king to ask for her land, she meets Gehazi and the king chatting together. And notice with me now, second of all, then, how the Lord preserves his saints. The Lord preserves his saints first and foremost in the way of obedience. In the way of obedience. She was preserved during those 7 years there of famine. She is preserved when the land is given back to her. It looked like all was lost, but as we sang from Psalm 39, those words, a stranger here, dependent on thy grace, a pilgrim with no abiding place. Oh, how dependent we are upon God's grace, aren't we? Pilgrims and strangers here. God preserves her in the way of her obedience. Now notice what I said there. God preserves her in the way of her obedience, not because of her obedience. There are churches that are teaching, the Arminians and now the Federal Vision, that we are saved by our obedience, or by faith and obedience, by our work. No, we're not saved by or because of our works at all. But we are preserved in the way of obedience. Belonging to preservation is our obedience, isn't it? Because we're preserved by God, we are able to persevere in our life. We're able to fight the fight of faith. We're able to run the race that is set before us. Because of preservation, we persevere. And belonging to preservation then is our obedience. The word of God comes to her from the man of God. Arise and go, and she goes. And sojourn thou whithersoever thou canst for 7 years. She did according to the saying of the man of God. And afterwards she returns because the man of God said, go and sojourn for 7 years. And the 7 years are over, and therefore she returns again, as the man of God told her. Notice that mark about the Christian life and our persevering. We are to act not by our feelings, but by the word of God. Not feelings. I feel like I should do this. I feel like this is good for me. Oh, how we hear that today. I'm thinking of a man that I know who was offered a job far away from the church. And he came and he said, I'm going to throw a fleece out before the Lord. If they offer me a salary that is far higher than what I ought to get for this job, that will be the sign that I should go. And he was given that offer and he went. But I can tell you that was not a sign from the Lord. It was a sign from his flesh. It looked good, like Lot left Abraham for the fields around Sodom and Gomorrah. We persevere in the way of obedience. Life regulated by direction from the Word of God and only the Word of God. That Word of God came from the man of God. That Word of God comes today through the preaching of the Word. And when we go by that Word of God, we can go with confidence, can't we? God will bless those who obey His Word. She showed her faith. What obstacles she faced. She is a woman all alone with a very young son. She has to go whithersoever she can go. Sojourn, not remain there. Perhaps we might think that she would have gone down to Judah, but we know in Judah it wasn't much better there. Not only the apostasy there also, but also the famine probably in that land. But where does she go? She goes there to the Philistines, those who were enemies of God. But she moved. She obeyed. She's a saint. Beloved, that is how a saint is noticed here in this world. Obedience. She is preserved there amongst those uncircumcised Philistines. How sad really, that the mercy of the heathen is sometimes far kinder than the mercy of the church. This widow with her son should have been able to remain in Israel, and the priest should have cared for her. That was their calling as the people of God. But it was a wicked king. There were priests of Baal and prophets of Baal, very few true prophets of Baal. No mercy was not to be found in Israel at this time. Mercy is found by those uncircumcised Philistines. God preserves us in the way of obedience. She went and she came back. And the Lord is going to preserve her also regarding to her land, but we're not that far yet. But beloved, God also does preserve us at times when we're disobedient, doesn't he? And then he preserves us by chastising us. And that's what's happening here in Israel. He's chastising them to cause a return to his word and to the word of the prophet. He chastised David, didn't he? David, when he committed adultery with his neighbor's wife, or when he numbered the fighting men of Israel, the Lord preserved him by chastising him, by humbling him, so that he'd look and trust in the Lord. But beloved, I want you to see in our text, especially Christ. For the Lord preserves you and me, surely not because of our obedience, but he preserves you and me because of the obedience of his Son, Jesus Christ. God preserves his saints in the way of obedience. Jesus set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem to suffer and die in our place. And it is by his obedience that you and I are saved, preserved from our sin, rebellion, and made children of God. So that's first of all, God preserves in the way of obedience. But notice, second of all, God preserves by using the wicked as instruments. God preserved this woman for those 7 years with those uncircumcised Philistines. Those Philistines that made Abraham flee. They were not kind people. They were ungodly people. They were enemies of God's people. They'd rather kill one of God's people than help them. God saved this woman by the Philistines, by means of them. That is a picture, beloved. That is typical of how the world, the ungodly world, serves God's saints still today. The reprobate there always serve election. And so we can be bold as this woman was, be full of confidence. What can man do to me? The wicked serve God's people. The Philistines served this saint for these 7 years. God used them as his instrument for whatever reasons. But now, second of all, I want you to see how the Lord preserves his saints through wicked men with these two rascals that are having tea together. Gehazi and King Jehoram. Notice these events that are recorded here in chapter 8 are not presented in time. These events took place somewhere in the middle of chapter 4. Shortly after this son was raised back to life, her husband must have died, and Elisha comes and says there's going to be a famine in the land because of the chastisement of the Lord. This is Gehazi, who we know from when Naaman was cured from his leprosy, is that ungodly man who had a love for filthy lucre. That is, he's a hypocrite. He's serving in the cause of the gospel for a little while for his own self-advancement. And he, because of it, has leprosy, and all his descendants, he is deposed later on in history. But this is before that. Before Naaman, before his leprosy, here we have Gehazi very cozy with King Jehoram. Maybe trying to get in his graces. Maybe he'll give him something for all that Elisha has done. And the King Jehoram is passing the time with Gehazi, and he asks the question, or he says, "Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha has done." And while he is talking with Gehazi, the servant of man of God, and as Gehazi is telling the king how Elisha had restored a son to its mother by raising from the dead, lo and behold, she comes into the king's court, pressing her claim for the land. And Gehazi says, "King, oh king, here, this is the woman, this is the son that Elisha raised." And the king looks at her, and the king hears her story. And he is moved here by the actions of Elisha and the wonderful grace of God given, worked for this woman to be sympathetic to her cause. How wonderful. Yeah, even the wicked can be sympathetic at times, maybe awed at times. God is using here this miracle of Elisha earlier and the recording of it to make him sympathetic. This king wouldn't be sympathetic otherwise. He is the son of King Ahaziah, a murderer. He is a son of King, a grandson of King Ahab, who took the land of Naboth and killed him for that vineyard. And now he has snatched up this land of this widow that left, and he is moved by God to give back that land. The Lord uses wicked men for preserving his saints. Not luck, not chance. These events take place right there so that the Lord can preserve this woman and what was hers. How beautiful. But beloved, I want you just to look at this. She is preserved during those 7 years. She is now preserved when it appears that everything's taken away from her. She is preserved. It's all given back by the hands of wicked men. That is a type. A type in the Old Testament that still pictures of how the Lord preserves his saints today using wicked men. Then it was the Philistines. Then it was Gehazi and King Jehoram. But so also the Lord continues to preserve his saints in the way of their obedience and by means of wicked men. What do we read? What do we read in Acts chapter 2, for example? There we have the sermon of Peter at Pentecost. And Peter looks at these Jews, and he says, Jesus was delivered unto death by you. He was delivered unto death by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, whom you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Do you see it, beloved? How God's saints are preserved even by the hands of wicked men under a Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate, a wicked man who says over and over and over again, this man is innocent, this man has done nothing wrong. And yet he is delivered over to the Jews to put on the cross because he feared the wrath of Caesar. Wicked man. How Satan fills the hearts of these wicked Jews, so they say, crucify, crucify him, and they nail him on the cross, and God uses that action of wicked men for your and my salvation. Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross in our place for our sins. Or again, the apostles say in Acts chapter 4, Christ, whom you have crucified, God raised from the dead. And there we read, the stone set at naught by the builders is become the head of the corner. No, those wicked men didn't want Christ, that stone. They rejected that stone as the king of the Jews. Oh, how they lamented when Pilate put that over Jesus' cross. And yet the stone rejected by the builders becomes, through that rejection, the headstone of the corner, the head of the church. God preserves his saints in the way of obedience and by the use, the instrumentality of the hands of wicked men. The cross. The cross is God's work accomplished by wicked hands, wicked hearts. That's the power of God, beloved. The power of God preserving unto a spiritual profit and glory. For this woman and her son, and then we're going to see for us in Christ Jesus. Spiritual profits and gain and glory. she is given back her land. Unheard of thing. Kings could confiscate whatever they want. She was gone. The king had taken it. Oh, Satan whispers, is that what you get for obedience? You obey the word of God that is spoken by the man of God, and she comes back and everything's gone. You have to remember, she was a rather wealthy woman before this, her and her husband. They had the means to have servants in the field working for them. This house that they put on, another room for Elisha, it's gone, gone, confiscated, taken away. God preserves and blesses his saints. He works all things for our profit. We have said that that land was a picture of her part in the kingdom. It was a part where God blesses her there. It is her enjoying covenant fellowship with her God and with his people. It's returned. Amazing. The king, in sympathy, having heard what the Lord had done for this woman through the man of God, Elisha, says, give her back her land. That's not all. The king goes on. Give her back her land. And restore all that was hers, that is, the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. Whatever produce there was in that land for those 7 years, all the profits, restore it to her. For that widow and her young son, that was important. That's how she would again build her life there and provide for her son, for her family. No, the Lord does not always give us all kinds of earthly blessings, does he? The Lord preserves us through affliction, but yes, we do experience losses, don't we, of a dear child, or maybe a job that we had enjoyed for a little while, or maybe friends that we might have had, or even some family members that forsake us because of our stand for Christ and for his word. Sometimes we do not receive back from physical afflictions, do we? But they earn for us spiritual good. Romans chapter 8, God works all things together for good to them that love him, that are the called according to his purpose. We might not see it in this life, but God works it for our good. If nothing else, a deeper dependence upon the Lord, a looking and waiting on the Lord, maybe patience during the trials. God works it for good. Here on this side of the grave, we might not see his hand and how it is for our good, but it will be made clear to us in heaven, won't it? But we will receive benefit, as this woman did, for her obedience. Jesus is speaking to his disciples in Mark chapter 10. And Jesus talks about the difficulty of following him. Jesus says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished. They were astonished, we read, out of measure, saying amongst themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but with God, for with God all things are possible. And now, interesting, Peter began to say unto him, this is Mark 10, verse 28, lo, we have left all, and we followed thee. And Jesus answered, and he said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. Have you ever noticed that, beloved? Perhaps for your stand for Christ, family members ridicule you or want no more association with you. You lose some earthly relationships. It comes with believing in Christ and taking a stand for Christ and obeying Christ. It happens. But you will receive in this time, says Jesus, 100-fold. So what if you lose a few earthly relatives out there that don't want to speak to you any longer? What is that compared to the brothers and sisters that you have in Christ Jesus? We let those unbelieving spouses or those unbelieving family members go their direction rather than catering to them for the sake of Christ and for his kingdom, and we will receive 100-fold in this time. The Lord blesses, and in the time to come, eternal life. We lose some things, but as we sang in that Psalter number, sojourners here, that's what she was called there in the land of Philistia, wasn't she? Sojourners. Sojourn there wherever you can, says Elisha. Not an earthly dwelling amongst the Philistines. That wasn't her home. She sojourned there for a while in order to return back to her home. We sojourn here for a little while. This isn't our permanent abiding place. We don't have that here. Let those things go, pilgrims and strangers, hot, according to the song and this and that psalm, dependent upon God's grace. What a miracle that is, beloved. A mighty miracle. The wonder of God's grace that lifts us from death to life and preserves us on our whole earthly pilgrimage. Yes. Wicked Gehazi speaking with King Jehoram. As an outsider, even he has to see it. The miracles, the things that the man of God did, Elisha. The wonders of God. God's grace to this woman and her son. God preserves his saints. May this pericope of God's word serve as a real source of confidence for us. Our life may be difficult for her, surely for this widow and her son. It was difficult. But the Lord was with her. The Lord was holding her. The Lord was preserving her. Confidence. At times our life may be rough. But your God in Christ Jesus is holding you and preserving you all through your pilgrimage here. And he has something wonderful in mind for you, your home. And all your works will follow you and will be rewarded. Confidence, boldness, then to persevere, because God preserves you, me, all his saints. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee from thy word of God that we may read of this account of thy wonderful care and preservation of this widow and her son. How dependent she was upon thy grace. And O Lord, then we may we also experientially with spiritual eyes see also thy care and thy preservation of all thy saints still today, preserving us in the way of our obedience and preserving us, O Lord, even using wicked men for doing that. The Lord knows how to care for his own. We thank thee, O Lord, for that care. We thank thee for the confidence of faith that we are given in thy word. Bless that word preached. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our Psalter to number 312. Oh, listen to these words. In the midst of our trials and difficulties, stanza 4. Return unto thy rest, my soul, no longer troubled be. The Lord sustains thee and has dealt most graciously with thee. Let's sing stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 6. Stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 6. Glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.